Welcome to the One of a Kind podcast, the show where we explore the stories we tell ourselves and the moments that got us here. I'm Niecy Duran, and I hope today's conversation gives you something to smile about. Welcome to the 20th episode of the One of a Kind podcast. I can't believe this marks 20 conversations with incredible people in my life. Thank you to everyone who continues listening. Today's guest is Lucy Sun. Lucy immigrated with her family from China to Canada at the age of 12 and grew up thinking she would become a doctor. After spending her college years suffering through molecular biology, she realized she was much more in love with literature and human psychology. Through many twists and turns, she built her career around her passion for unlocking human potential in individuals, teams, and organizations. For over 10 years, she's worked in management consulting and Fortune 500 companies. She currently heads up all things talent at Melrose Consulting. Outside of her work, she enjoys being a mother most of the time and coaching working moms on finding equilibrium and themselves. She lives with her husband and two kids in Brooklyn, New York. We start our conversation with Lucy sharing her immigration story and how being laid off from Meta has impacted her next steps. We discuss how becoming an adult is learning where the world ends and you begin, and how life often feels like a video game where we are constantly trying to level up. We also acknowledge that many of us are searching for security, but the truth is that the most interesting evolutions of our life will often come from insecurity thrown our way. Thank you to Lucy for sharing her story, and a shout out to Parker, her husband, and my law school buddy for bringing us together. I hope you enjoy our conversation.
So I grew up in Northeast China in a city called Harbin. It's super cold. It's got a lot of like Russian influence. And so like Russian buildings and things. But I would say it's not the most like advanced in terms of like socioeconomics and things like that. So my mom started trying to find a way out for us as early as I would say like 1995, something like that. Mama.
Yeah.
And then so they explored so many different routes. And I think at the time there was like a massive wave of immigration out of China for technical workers. So you could get on like a technical visa and try to come to Canada or New Zealand or the US. And they're like, well, you know, Canada's the most like friendly for immigrants and there's a lot of social support. Whereas we hear from people in the US, like it's so hard to get a green card. You know, we live in poverty for a really long time. It's not very like immigrant friendly, right?
That's right.
And so so we started that process and it took so many years. And during that time, both of my parents took turns to do research in academia in different cities. So at one point they took turns being in Hong Kong. And then they were in Singapore for a little bit. And so, you know, just so over time, I think by 2000, it went through.
I mean, I'm always so impressed by the generation that immigrated here, right? Like my parents immigrated here as well. Of they did something so brave, you know, and I know you were in Canada, we're in the US, right? But it's so brave leaving their culture, their family, their language behind because they wanted something better for their family, right? I think it's so brave.
Yeah, absolutely. But at the time, literally, I think we had like $10,000 with us and that's it, right? And my dad wasn't even, he couldn't make it the same time to immigrate with us. And so my mom and I just went to Toronto and I remember like landing and it was like bright, like daylight out at 9 p.m. And I was like, the wrong place.
Where have you brought us, mother? It was interesting because one of the reasons I first wanted to start this podcast was because when I was reflecting on my own identity, I felt that not all of me, but many big decisions I made in my life were a reaction to something, right? I didn't want to be perceived this way. Therefore, I'm going to do this versus being more proactive and saying, this is who I want to be. Right. And so hearing you say that your parents had this experience where they had very limited stability, right? It was very limited. I'm sure they tried to create a stable environment as much as possible for you as their child, but their work environment was constantly changing and they never felt safe. It sounded like because of that, you said, I want to find a safe career path. And so you went through the, you know, the medicine route. So What do you think about that? Right. Cause it was very much, I mean, you said it right. I'm not trying to put words in your mouth, but it was a reaction to what you experienced. What do you think about that? Do you think a lot of us do that? And why do we do that? Or why did you do that? You know?
Well, I think it's really about two things, right? It's like, how much do you let the external things morph you into who you are, as opposed to starting from within, and you start from yourself as a center, right? And I think when I was younger, I didn't really know that center, right? And what that even looked like. And I think that's really a part of adulthood, right? Becoming an adult is, and I really love this quote. It's from this woman. What's her name? I wrote it down somewhere. Anyway, she's an artist, and then she had these little blurbs of like isms that she wrote down, and she like carved them into like a plaque and things like that. And it was like at one point like in MoMA or something. And one quote stuck out to me so much. I still remember. It's like, you have to know where you stop and the world. You have to know where you stop and the world starts, or something like that. And I think that's just like, it encapsulates like so much about life and goals and ambition and what we are capable of, right? Because I think a lot of times people, they think they can do so much, right? And then they try, but it doesn't give them any satisfaction, number one. And then you just don't really know what's enough, right? You don't know what's enough in terms of career, in terms of money, in terms of dating, right? So you can always, you know, there's always another level, right? So I like that quote. Yeah.
I love this. What you're essentially saying is we've put ourselves in a video game, a Super Mario's video game, where we're trying to constantly level up. Right.
Yes.
So yeah, what does that do to us?
Yeah.
What has it done to you? Like, you mentioned that you saw that early on in medical school. And so I didn't let you finish your story. It sounded like maybe you opted out and you pivoted. So that was an example of you recognizing, hey, I don't want to be stuck in this never ending video game. But you've also alluded to the fact that you still are in a video game, right? Like you just said, what is enough? So where are you currently at with that right now for yourself?
And I know when we were, you know, talking about this, right? And I think at one point you're like, I always ask people to start with, tell me a little bit about yourself. So I was thinking about that question. And I was like,
yeah, tell me.
Who am I?
Yeah. Who are you, Lucy? Who are you?
Right now, my life is just consumed by motherhood. I have a 5-month-old at home. I have a 3-year-old at home. And, you know, I'm becoming one of those people that you like, you meet someone on the street and they're like, how are you? And I'm like, well, my kid is doing this and then my kid did that. They wouldn't sleep at night. That's a big part of who I am right now. We were also talking about the layoffs, right? And so, I was impacted and Meta. And so I think my career has always been just such a huge part of who I am. I think my parents are the type, they're non-traditional in a way that they've always been like, you don't have to be like the top. You don't have to work in it's a really bizarre.
They're enlightened.
I think they knew my limits before I knew my own limits. They're like, we don't expect you to be an engineer because you're bad at math. So, you know, if you can memorize, go the biology route, do medicine. I think that's good enough. You know, I'm like, okay. As long as you don't become a journalist, or it's like, study English. So I always wanted to do English literature. Like, don't do that.
They knew their limits too.
yes. Like, we're not paying for that. So they never had this explicit expectation, right? But then once in a while, they'll come over and see me. They'll be like, so what? When do you think you'll get promoted? You know, they're just kind of like hint at it. And I'm like, well, I don't know. But then that puts a little pressure here, right? It's like, okay, so I need to work hard. Like, you need to make them proud, you know? And it's crazy because, you know, I'm in my mid-30s and I have my own kids and I have my own family. And I still let it get to me, you know?
What do you mean by it gets to you?
It's just this voice, their voice in my head, you know? And I think it's much better now that, you know, I'm more established as a person in my life and I'm financially independent. That's very key.
100%.
You know, I just to tell you a story. So I was a 90 student throughout high school. Like I never got below 93 on anything. And I was like, okay, like if I get a 91, I'm going to go home and cry. And then I got to University of Toronto where, you know, I didn't listen, right? Everyone was like, they bell curve you like crazy. Life science is super cutthroat. Like not many people survive for 4 years there. So my first midterm ever was in organic chemistry.
Orga, oof.
Yes, my mom still has dreams about filling Orgo herself. And I think it passed down in the family.
It gets passed down in the water. Everyone, all those med students are
like, oh my gosh, I don't understand what it is.
It's legendary everywhere,
know?
Orgo.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I think it's spatial reasoning, and I'm terrible at spatial reasoning. And my first midterm, I got back, and they post your student number, like a string of eight numbers. A whole list of student numbers with the scores on a wall outside of a lab. And I remember there's my student number and someone else's right after me, but the last two, everything's the same, but the last two digits are flipped. So when I first saw it, I was like, okay, I did okay, I got an 86. So that's a 4.0, that's pretty good. Could have been better.
Oh no.
And I was like, wait a minute, that's not my number. And I look at the one above and it was 68 and I just lost it. And all I could hear was my mom's voice in my head going, oh my gosh, what happened? You failed like crazy. I'm so disappointed in you. Should have studied harder. You know, how could you let this happen? Right? How could you let this happen? So I think that's the voice, you know, it's always in there.
Is that something that they would actually say?
They used to say it. The interesting thing I find about my parents, at least my mom, is my dad's very chill. He's like, you marry well.
Okay, Papa.
Good luck,
I
marry
see you.
Well. Everything else is fine. Like, don't worry. But my mom was always like the one, you know, and I think it's because we lived apart for so long. So like I lived with one parent and the other one's found a job somewhere else. And so she missed out on like a few years, right, of me growing up. And so she's always trying to overcompensate. So she'll be like super involved, but not to the point I want her to be involved, you know.
There's always a reason why that people are the way they are, right, to your point. Mm-hmm. How did you feel about that? So I know you said your mom's voice was in your head, but if your mom was removed from it, how did you feel about getting was it 68? What did you think about that?
Oh, gosh. I think it just crushed me. I think that was the beginning. This is what I do now, right? So I work in talent management for the record. Work development. So I help, you know, employees essentially develop their careers, you know, I work on their performance, promotions, you know, development opportunities for them, how to think about identifying high potential, things like that. And there's always another side where it's like there's team effectiveness, there's coaching. And coaching is like my personal, I would say like my big passion. But the past few years, I started coaching high achieving people in their probably like early 20s as they transition from school into like work life. Because I'm finding that like for myself too, right? Like a lot of times, you had this more clear standard when you were in school where it's like, oh, I got this grade, you know, I got these things on my, you know, volunteer list or, you know, research or whatever. So that's what good looks like, right? And it's a very clear definition. And then you go into work and it's like this whole world just kind of opens up and you could do everything every single day and spend 24 hours nonstop. And you could keep networking or develop yourself or pick up a hobby or make that hobby into a money-making thing, which I think people feel they need to. Or you could just sit and do nothing and drink all day and go out, right?
Yes.
especially in the city, like that's, you know, you don't have to do anything anymore, right? So, and they're just so lost and they go into work and they're just like, is this it, right? Like, what do I do now? So that's, I coach them on this. Yeah. Yeah. It's like a, it's something that's very near and dear to my heart.
It's a really big transition when we go from college or grad school, right, to the working world. One, it's super exhausting. Two, it's hard to know if you're doing well because you're used to getting grades all the time, right? And it's just a different environment.
Now that we're talking about this, I feel like we're also a generation of women that's raised to be independent, right? Like power women. And this is something that I'm doing coaching on right now is like, and there's a book on this too. It's called The Double Bind, is that women are now raised to, there's like societal expectations on both sides, right? You're squeezed no matter what, right? Like you have to look good, right? And be sexy, but you can't be too sexy, right? You have Correct. To speak out for yourself, right? You have to stand out for yourself. But if you do that too much, you're annoying and you're, you know,
you're bossy.
Bossy and, you know, another people B-word. Don't like you.
Yes.
Exactly. Right. And we used to do like executive evaluations for people, like leaders, right? To say, are they qualified to succeed in the succession role for this the next level position? And the descriptions were like crazy for women. When, you know, it's like, oh, she's, you know, too hardcore, like, you know, the her tone, like all kinds of things.
Negative connotations.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, but you would never say that about a man, right? If a man pushes back on work, you're like, oh, he's good at setting boundaries, right?
So, what a leader.
Yeah, exactly. What a leader. Confident, you know, like confident about he knows himself. You
know? Yeah. Oh, yeah. 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 No one ever says that, right? They're like, oh, she just knows herself so yeah. well. But you're right. We're being squeezed on all sides. It's not easy.
It's the hardest thing right now. And like, you know, you can lean in, right? But
I made a face. It's like,
no. Yeah. It's like, I always, my husband loves to quote the Ali Wong, you know, the Netflix show. He's like, she's like, I don't want to lean. I want to lie down.
Yeah. I've never seen that. So many people told me to watch it. I need to watch it. Initially when that book came out, I was excited. I think it was before I had kids though.
Yeah.
I was excited. I'm pretty sure it was before I had kids. I need to double check when it was published, but I love the idea of saying, women, you got this. We're powerful. Let's get after it. Let's increase the number of female CEOs and, you know, board of director members. I loved it, the spirit of it. But then once I had kids and I was living in San Francisco, it's really hard. And I felt that in our industry in tech, there's not a lot of space to be able to say, I still care about my career, but over these next 1 or 2 years, I need to just work on something I'm good at and still deliver excellence, but also take care of my physical, mental, emotional health, and that of this child that I've just brought into the world. There's no space for that. It's still on, you're still on the treadmill of, well, what have you done for me lately? And what are your plans to get promoted immediately, right?
Yes.
I don't know about you, but I felt like there wasn't a lot of space to say, let me take a beat. Again, that doesn't mean not doing great work, but it just might mean I'm not looking to get promoted quickly in the next year or two.
And I think there's two things to this, right? I think, and then let me make sure I remember my train of thought, because this is a really key topic. So like I sit in talent reviews and we talk about people in this 9 box, right? And, you know, performance and potential, right? And where does this person fall? Where does this person fall? And it's like, you're penalized a lot of the times by people who don't know you very well to say, she doesn't have the ambition. You know, there's not the potential. No, there's no ambition.
How American of us.
Yeah. She doesn't want to get promoted. She just wants to stay where they are, you know? And we have to be like, what, is that a bad thing? Like, is that a bad thing? Like, are you saying that that's not good? Right. So we're putting value on, you know, keep trying to move up. Like, is that like actually okay? There's something that has been on the back of my mind. And it's inspired because we live in like a pretty parents heavy community. And right now, like I have so much to relate to in terms of being a working mom, you know? And so I thought about starting this thing called Working Moms Confidential, It's a site where you can submit anonymously something about your situation, you know, as a working mom, whether you're just laid off or you're, you know, even like if you were out of the workforce for a long time to care for your kids, and now you're like, how do I get back in? Like that, you know, things like that's a good situation, or a good scenario, or just things that you're dealing with at work. You know, I work in the people side of, you know, companies for so long, and you know, I'm sure I can provide many valuable insights. And so ask people to submit things confidentially, and then I respond to them and post them out as like a blog post, just as like a central resource. It's a safe space to ask questions. And then they can get more time with me as like a one-on-one coach, you know, if they want. So that's something that I'm working on.
Can you say the name one more time so we have it?
Yes. Working Moms Confidential.
Working Moms Confidential.
And then, you know, for coaches, like you always want to find the niche that works best for you, right? And this is my niche. You know, I connect to moms because I am a mom and I have all these challenges from before, you know, being a working mom that, you know, now I can help people navigate. So, yeah.
That's amazing. No, that's amazing. The theme of this, I think, podcast episode is safety and security. And how I think a lot of us, and I would probably argue a lot of people from immigrant backgrounds in particular, right? Probably strive for that so much, right? Looking for stability, looking for security.
Yeah.
I think sometimes because we know that our parents made such sacrifices. And then secondly, we also just want to be assimilated, right? And feel like we are a success. And what I love about what you've done with the instability that, you know, hit you is you're trying to help coach other people, help them process what's important to them so that they have a plan B or whatever it is, right? Or kind of the next step in their career. So I think that's awesome. I think that's great.
I feel like the most meaningful things actually do come from instability, right? Like
from instability?
Instability. Yeah. You know, it's like you try so hard to find stability, but then it's really those moments of instability where, you know, you end up like almost, yeah, you know, like this is almost like a cliche thing to say, right? Like a better version of yourself. So, yeah.
I wish I had the video on because that feels like a really good quote. I mean, I hear you. I know that people, I don't think it's a cliche. I know why you said that, you know, it's something that we get to that realization, but no, I think it's really true. And I think it's really powerful. Right. That this feels so uncomfortable. We didn't choose it, but here we are. And it's forcing us to consider how are we spending our time in the past? How do we want to spend it in the future? Does it align with our values? And, you know, also the financial questions come into play as well. Right. But I think that's all right. I think that's all right, even though I don't like it.
You know, my husband will say, you know, you don't like really people. This is, I feel like, another, like, to the earlier podcast from Hamza, right? Like, adulthood is a lie. It's a scam, I think.
It is.
It's a scam. I think one of the biggest scams is we're taught to earn a high salary and that our financial stability and financial success and path to retirement comes from our salary, you know? I think that's one of the biggest lies because of, you know, how much is taxed, you know, how much is dependent on external factors like promotions, you know, your need, business need for your role, you know, how much impact you could be making in your role, you know, whether you're on the right project or not. Like there's so many factors, you know.
So many variables that we're not in charge of, but we can't decide.
Exactly. Yes. So my husband will say the thing to do is invest in real estate, get passive income, you know, to early retirement. Who knows? You know.
See, so now what you've done so nicely is you have left a cliffhanger, so that I'll have to interview Parker and he'll have to tell us the secrets.
Oh, man.
I'm going to tell you the story, then I'm going to end this and thank you so much for your time, but because I know we're out of time. But so I was on a trip visiting my brother, and I get a ping from Parker that says, are you too cool for a follow back on Threads. And I was like, oh, I didn't realize I didn't follow you. And so I'm at the airport. Actually, I was going through security. Okay. And so I was going through security. So it took me a minute.
Exactly something he would say. Just, you know.
It's on brand. It's on brand.
Socially awkward. Like,
oh, no. It gets better, Lucy. It gets better. Uh-huh. So I open up the Threads app and it says like notification, you know, Parker's followed you. And it said 3 minutes ago. And so I follow him back and I text him and I said, Parker, you're such a diva. Like you just followed me 3 minutes ago.
3 minutes.
No, Lucy, he says, I should look at it. I got to say this for verbatim. Hold on. I have to read it to you.
Oh my God.
1 second. He says, I followed you last week and just unfollowed you and followed you again to check whether you had followed back or not.
Oh my God.
He said,
hilarious.
But that doesn't mean that I'm not a diva. So I was just this is amazing.
This is so classic Parker.
I love Parker. I met him. He was my study buddy in law school. He was part of the study group that my friend Priya started, and Parker's outlines are legendary from in law school, just the way he takes notes.
I hope our kids inherit that.
He's legit.
My study habits.
He's legit. Priya knew what she was doing. She was like, Parker, you're in our study group. Come on.
Oh, wow.
And then I didn't know how funny he was on top of it. So it was a win-win-win.
Yes.
This was amazing, Lucy. Yes, I really enjoyed our conversation.
I had so much fun doing this. I could go on forever.
Thank you for listening to the One of a Kind podcast. This show is edited by my brother from the very same mother, Jose Duran. We have more episodes on the way, so please check us out wherever you get your podcasts.